Venerable Bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, attachment, aversion, and ignorance are the three things that promote this being's births and deaths in this world. Attachment, aversion, and ignorance. These three things you produce as a whirling every moment. You produce them with the use of your eyes. You produce these things with the use of your nose. You produce these things with the use of your ear. You produce these things with the use of your tongue, body and mind. From the time you get up in the morning, up to the time you go to sleep, it is one mass of productions of aversion, attachment and ignorance. That is the behavior pattern of the worldling. If I ask the question, should you in the use of your sense bases produce these things? There is no necessity. Well, we understand that position clearly about a person who has developed himself along the path. Who knows what is attachment? Who knows what is aversion? And who knows what is ignorance? As I emphasized in previous discourses, your six sense bases are equipment for you to lead a worldly life. But if this equipment is used in a proper way, not promoting circumstances to create attachment, not promote circumstances to create aversion, and live with full awareness of what they are and their values, then you do not harm yourself. Aversion is not a production, or attachment is not a production directly derived from the activities you commit in the way of using your sense bases. They are indirect commitment which produce bad results. When you use your eyes, you create a thought and see. In that thought you create, you only saw a vision. When you make use of your ears, you create a thought and hear. In that thought, you only heard. In making use of your nose, you only smelt. In that thought, there is only smelling, experience of smelling. Same way in regard to experiences gained through the six sense bases, like taste and contact and thinking, all those are direct productions of the use the sense base. Direct production. When I say direct production, you don't produce anything more than merely performing the function of the sense base, which is meant to perform certain act like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. That's all you perform. And that is all what you expect to do also. The equipment is meant for that. But we have gone beyond that limit in creating an attachment, when creating an aversion, to ignorance. And these have led to many complications in regard to your life. That is something which you must give thought to. How is it that by looking at a thing, if you develop attachment to aversion, how is it that I create situations where I am creating unnecessary suffering to me? How is it that I, having heard something as a result of a creation or thought, go beyond the limits of creating attachment to aversion? How does that create misery to me? Likewise, in regard to other sense spaces, if you carefully think, all these activities of the six sense spaces ultimately lead you to suffering. Because you commit acts which are not necessary. You commit acts because you have got used to committing such acts in ignorance. In awareness of what is happening to you, also now you are not in a position to stop this activity beyond the mere functioning of the sense base. Why? Lack of mindfulness. You just do things and follow the usual pattern of your activity by the consciousness, which leads you one step to another, one step to another, till such time you are suffering. Before we go to that aspect of it, let me clear this point to you that all the sense-based activities, when used in a worldly way, when experienced in a worldly way, you only create suffering. Their suffering is the outcome of birth. That is what you should bear in mind. It's just not immediately getting disappointed over the thing which you expected as something appealing to you. It is something more than that. You ultimately end up in birth as a result of this activity of yours. And that the dependent origination has clearly indicated to you. Your ignorance, in your ignorance you commit acts in the nature of performing activity by the sixth sense basis. This activity produces consciousness. And the outcome of the consciousness is the creation of mind and matter. Their mind refers to the five mental factors. Matter refers to the four elements. This activity goes on in the sixth sense basis. Then as a result of contact by the sense basis of object outside, you create desire. And there, though it is it's not clear directly as to how by contact you create desire, but the explanation is that you contact something through any of your six sense bases, then you give thought to that and get either attached to the object or create aversion. Either aversion or attachment, any one of them promote desire. That is how desire is created. And the dependent origination says, goes further. If you have a desire, you always have the grasping. Grasping of the five groups, which consciousness produces to create that delusion in you of a being present. This is so lively experienced by you. In other words, very, very strongly experienced by you, presence of this being in you that makes you to go forward. Existence to be carried on. You fear death, you don't want death, you don't want a discontinuity of this existence of yours because of this grasping, because of this false belief you have created in your mind of a being present in you, which the desire has created. And then what happens? At your death, when you lose consciousness of the sense bases, the mind only remains. That's the last thing that you give up at the time of your death. But prior to you breathe in the last, the karmic force reacts on you. No one can say how that happens. It is more or less automatic occurrence in any person who dies. Unless, of course, that person has attained the third stage and no karmic force can then commit himself to another birth because he is beyond karma's activity. In this case, if he has entered the third stage at his death, he only passed away without creating a thought which will result in a birth in a special world. But in this case, he just passed away and the development within him will carry him to a birth in the pure abodes where he will ultimately realize Nibbana. In all other beings, the karma reacts on him at the last stage. When you cannot see, when you cannot hear, when you don't feel the legs and the hands, the movements, all dead, only the mind remains, you are fully aware that you are going to pass away, and you become very helpless. All that confidence you had, living in the world, creating a world, all that has vanished now. You are not in any world now as such. Because eyes created the world, ear created the world, the nose created the world, tongue created the world, contact with the body created the world, and only thinking is left. Now you are helpless. And that stage, the karmic force reacts on you. Your memory will bring back to you an incident where you have committed an act. Maybe a good act, or maybe a bad act. It all depends upon the impression the act has created in your mind. So that the recollection of that act is very clear. It may so happen that you have committed a bad act and it has always disturbed your mind now and again. Though it is a past incident, still reflections or memories of that incident disturb you. Why didn't I do that act? I should not have done that. And such memories are the memories that very often plays a vital role at the last moment when you are about to breathe your last. You see the very act being committed by you. If it's something wrong, something harmful to somebody, you see the very act being committed by you. And along with that vision, you also get depressed. Your mind also will fall in keeping with the temperament you adopted at the time you committed the act. Is so realistic. Therefore, you can imagine what temperament you will be in. For instance, if you saw something in your vision which you don't like to recollect even, but it so happened that you have done it, therefore is come back to you now. And it is, you hang on it, there is no option. That is the only thought that has arisen at this moment, therefore you just can't. You have never practiced silencing on the mind. When it's something, you are always hanging on some object to your mind. And when this object appeared, you just grasp it. Because you are in a desperate position, as you have lost the world by this time. And the reaction of that grasping is a birth in keeping with that act you have committed. If it is a good act, certainly you will be born in a good world, maybe in heavenly world. Or if you maintain, let us say, your mindful development in your samadhi, and at that moment that goes up and up and up because you are very conscious that's a development which you have created and which you are happy about, always recollecting and living in samadhi, you will see that you also develop the same samadhi at that time. Your mind falls back to that, then the natural incident is that you will develop samadhi. And if you develop the first absorption and pass away, then you will be born in a luminous world befitting that standard of development in you. Second absorption, third absorption, fourth absorption, like that. If you live in those absorptions, though at the time of death, if your mind was in such absorption, then you will be born in a world befitting that. That's luminous worlds. That is how you gain your births, you see, in higher worlds. But a birth in heavenly world will never keep you permanently. That also, you will be there for a period. The luminous worlds also, it all depends upon how much of strength of mind you have developed to earn a longer period, otherwise a short period, medium period, or a long period will be the outcome and you will be out of that place. They're all temporary abodes created for you in keeping with the temperament you have built up at the time of your parting. This is a birth. Whether in the heavenly world is also a birth. Whether the luminous world is also a birth. Whether in the human world is also a birth. Or in the hell world is also a birth. Nothing else. And it is this birth ultimately that leads you to suffering. Birth leads you to suffering. Jati, jara, vyadi, marana, soka, parideva, dukdomna, so sadha. Description given about the suffering you will be subjected to. But why should one be creating such circumstances? Should you ask the question, in every instance you experience something through a sense base, should you develop aversion or attachment, both of which are factors governed by ignorance? Can't we just see and see only and forget about it? You saw something yesterday and that's all. You see something now, that's all. You hear something now, that is all. You smell something now, that is all. You taste something, that is all. You contact something, that is all. And you think of something, you create a thought, that is all. Isn't it this recollection? Isn't this memory that creates a world for you? Do you have a world if you do not have a memory? Do you live in a world when there is no memory? You live for the moment, that is all. Therefore, the world which you have created is a world full of attachment and aversions and nothing else. It is when you like something that you go on thinking about it. It is when something has hurt your feeling that you go on thinking about it. Otherwise you use your ears normally. How many things that you recollect the day after or little late after you see it? Nothing. Only incidents that you pursue in the way of attachment or aversion that creates recollections, subsequent recollections in you. Otherwise, if you live and just see and just hear, just smell and just taste and just contact and just think, you thought that's over. You heard that's over. You smelled that is over. You experience something through a sense base, that's over for the moment only. Then I ask you the question, is there a world for you? There's no world for you. You live the period you are expected to live due to the span of life karma has given you. When you pass away, that's all. There's nothing to recollect and cling on to or grasp or go after. Good, you have just lived, that's all. Therefore, the world that you have created is a world of aversion, attachment and ignorance, nothing else. And isn't that what the Buddha is trying to create in you, brothers and sisters? He always says, don't cling to anything. Don't get attached to anything. Don't pursue anything and experience purposeless because it's occurred and over. You pursue because you are attached to it or you have created an aversion to it. Ask the question, why do you create an aversion or attachment to anything? You create an aversion or attachment. Why? Because you either like it or do not like it. And you pursue the like and pursue the dislike too. That creates an impression in you and you live in that impression. That is the world you create. So you are contributing moment to moment by living in that fashion to create the world where you to live, and you are living in that world. If you can see and forget what you have seen, you only saw, that is all. If you can hear and you only heard, that's all. If you can smell, that's all you smelled. If you can taste something, that is all. You tasted it at the moment. You felt the taste, nothing more. If you conduct something, that is all, you felt the contact, you have forgotten about it now. And a thought arises and passes away, that's all. Will there be a world for you to live after that? No. There's no world for you to live after that. You don't create any world after that. You don't aspire to live in a world after that. Because such activity has completely helped you to give up your desire. You have finished creating worlds for you. The desire is no longer existing in you because it has been fed by your activity. That force is maintained by you so long as you maintain it. If you do not maintain it, then that force cannot exist. You promote the force, therefore the force remains. And that force is desire. You promote desire because you pursue your experiences, which are of no use. When something has occurred, it has occurred and passed away. That is all. That's the realistic aspect of that occurrence. What is the purpose you are thinking about it and getting attached to or creating aversion to it? Because such creation is just only a mental creation, nothing can be done. You only create an unpleasant situation in your mind. Something has occurred, has passed away, that's all. Thereby you will not create a world for you. You will live in the present moment. When you think of the world that is around you, aren't they all contributions by memories of yours? If I give an example, you see something and you forget about that vision you saw, will you live in that vision after that? No. Again, if that vision appears, it may be something, because you have no memory of that, it's something quite new, that's all you saw and it passes. But when you keep all these things heaped in the memory, it's that memory that creates that world for you. Memory of experiences. Of what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have smelled, what you have contacted, what you have tasted and what you have felt, what you have thought. These are the things that create the world. Buddha, knowing this weakness of yours that you find difficult to keep away from, pursuing objects that you experience through your sense bases, there he revealed to you the realistic aspect of things. And that is your guide. That is your wisdom. It is that wisdom that helped you to get out of this cycle of birth. Only thing is, are you applying that wisdom to your day-to-day occurrences? Do you look at a thing and see the vision and forget about it because there's nothing? Look at a thing and see the vision and forget about it because there's nothing existing in that vision which you have created. It's just a vision only. And you know that act as something arisen and passed away. When you hear something, it's just an act arising and passing away. There's nothing left over in that act. When you taste something, that's also arisen and passed away. For the moment, your mind creates a situation to experience that act, that is all. Mind creates the thought, you experience it. The mind, that thought that mind created that passes away, you experience it also forgotten. Isn't that the realistic aspect of our life? And what we are doing now is maintaining ourselves in a world created by something which you have in your imagination created, artificial. That's not your true self. So you create the world for yourself. You live in the world for yourself. And Buddha always said that the world is rising and passing away. Isn't that the truth? The world is rising and passing away. Why? Because the world you are living in is a world of creations by you and nothing else. And what creation? Not physical creations, but mental creations. Those mental creations arise and pass away. And you continue to live in the memories of those incidents which have arisen and passed away. They are all memories. And Buddha, for instance, to give you strength to realistically understand a situation and keep away from memorizing these things or keeping in your memory these things, he said that all things are impermanent. What is the best lesson you could learn out of about all these things? You couldn't have learned a better lesson than impermanence. Because if you rightly understand the full implications of impermanence, you will always live in that. because that is the truth. Undisputed, unchallenged truth, everything is impermanent. So if everything is impermanent, is there any value to what can be given to what you see? Any value that can be given to what you heard? Any value that can be given to what you have seen or what you have experienced as smells, experienced as tastes, the contacts you have had, the thoughts you have created? No value can be given. All impermanent. Knowing your weakness that you find difficult to get rid of some of these memories which are in your mind, created as a result of the enjoyment you had or as a result of the disappointment that object has created. These have got fixed in your mind and you live in a world of creations by you. Therefore Buddha says everything is impermanent. So what is the value you can attach to anything you see? Nothing. Impermanent. And advice given by Buddha is, if you cannot assess the proper values of the experiences you gain through your sixth sense basis, at least accept the fact that they are all impermanent. And whenever you make use of your eyes, always give preference to impermanence. That memory must arise in your mind. Impermanent. You see something is impermanent. Next thought that arises is, first thought is you see, second thought that arises should be in your mind, impermanence. When you hear impermanence, when you smell impermanence, when you taste is impermanence, when you contact something is impermanent, and also when you create thought, that's all impermanent. If you have rightly taken this gospel truth into your mind, planted it so well that it is not a thought that you can ever forget. And always you have your preference to the arising of that thought in every experience you gain through. Therefore it is lively in you, always directing you, always keeping you reminded. When the eye begins to deceive you by catching a point and hanging on it, the mind says, don't hang on that object, that is impermanent. When you hear something sweet, the nature of a song or something like that, and you get enamored by it and listen to it a little with attachment, there the recollection comes. That is impermanent, don't attach yourself to that. That memory, that mindfulness must bring about that. That is the armor you should always wear. That is your protection. That is your defense. That is the only thing that can guide you in the right way and nothing else. Money, gold, all those are misdirecting you. Wealth, position, power, all those are misdirecting you. That nothing with the worldlings accept as very valuable, very expensive and very profitable, those things are all enemies of yours in respect of a realistic approach in life. The only true friend you would have will be always the promptings by the heart that everything is impermanent in this world. Everything is impermanent in this world. Everything is impermanent in this world. You may see the beauty of beauty is here. Impermanence. This truth has got so much impregnated in your mind, got very well settled in your mind. You can't escape that by any vision you see, because after the vision, there arises only in you the truth, impermanence. Can you go beyond that? You can't go beyond that. No attachment can be created in your mind after that when the impermanence takes firm hold of your mind. And that you have practiced so well, that you have given preference always to this good thought, this excellent thought, this wisdom, that it always plays that vital role protecting you, directing you in the right way, and guiding you in all respects. That is what you should bear in mind. It's rather difficult to bring that into your mind now. Why? Your mind is believing in something opposite to that, permanence. That's the worldly way of looking at things. Having accepted this false value given to everything that you experience through your sense base as permanent, you find difficult to get the truth into your mind. But constant practice, constantly applying yourself, always mindful of this great truth, impermanence, 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 it will settle down very well in you. And you will, no one can deceive you after that. The best of forms in the world, women or men, that will not deceive you, because at the very sight of it, you know it's all impermanence. The best of tastes of your tongue, that's all impermanence. Anything that can, in normal circumstances, mislead a person with that great vision in you, with that great truth planted very well in you, with that, so to say, unchangeable, realistic truth planted in you, you will never be misled. You will smile, that's all. In the presence of any object that may distract any other person, but you are smiling because you see the truth in that object that has attracted many, but not attracted you, because you see the truth. That is the thing that we have to. Therefore, do not create worlds. Worlds of memories. Own memories in the past are all mental creations. More you live in them, more you recollect and think about them, the more you fix the world you have created around you. World of deception. World that is leading you from birth to birth. Therefore, you shall not create any world. Live in the present moment. You see only. You hear only. You smell only. You taste only. You think only. You contact only. That is all where your life is concerned. Yesterday? That's all. I don't think of yesterday. This moment is the moment I live in. Because you are an action of cause and effect only. Body may be a covering given to you by karma, with a period fixed on that body to last. But your mind, we rise and pass, we rise and pass, we rise and pass, we rise and pass, for the moment only. For the moment only. Of course it will last till the body lasts, because it has lived in the maintained that body, the karmic force. And the mind is also a worldly creation. But you, in your consciousness, live in the moment, in the present moment, that is all. You must give thought to these things, brothers and sisters. When you are free, then you will realize these things day by day, and ultimately lead yourself in your development to liberate yourself from this earth, from this birth, so to say. May you all attain.